What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Full Press Hockey Weekly Show, Pucks After Dark. We told you we'd be back for more of them here on a Saturday night. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Hockey Facebook, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, FullPressHockey.com, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It is Hockey After Dark, baby. And I'm your host, Jim Berenger, rocking and rolling with NWO members Chris Wassel and Ian Glenn behind the scenes. We are here Saturday night, holiday mood. We're into December. Chris, always a pleasure, buddy.
It always is. It's Christmas, guys. Well, close enough. For those of you who work during this holiday season, like Jim and I do,
yep,
say a prayer for us. Because, yep, yeah, it's look, basically, the best way to put this, you know, we do a lot of work. And then in December, every editor, creator, and such wants to jam everything in before Christmas.
And not to mention, we work through Christmas
through
New Year. Why? Because that tournament everybody loves is coming very soon on December 26th.
The boxing one that starts on Boxing Day.
Right. December 26th, World Juniors. They start, but that's down the road. Today, we're here. We got a lot to discuss. A lot jam-packed here. Hockey After Dark, Pucks After Dark. You know, we got to take over, you know, because Pac-12 After Dark's over. Well, that's another show for another day as well. But let's start off. Big news out of the week. Patrick Kane, Detroit Red Wings. What a move. What a get. What a steal by Stevie Eiserman. And it's a good deal for both teams. Both sides, I should say.
Yeah, isn't it nice when something comes out as a win for both sides in this case?
I think it really is. I think it's great.
It's great. It's great for the Detroit top six. It's great for their power play. Still doesn't help their penalty kill.
No.
But
Kane's not paid to play defense.
No, Kane don't do defense. No. It's like Allen Iverson in practice.
Yeah, it's true.
Practice him?
Practice, but talk about practice.
But that doesn't matter for Detroit. Detroit needs offense. They need to score goals. At times, they're just going to have to outscore their problems.
Absolutely.
And Patrick Kane provides that added sort of punch that you're going to need as the season goes on. Now, obviously, you know, particulars and such. He probably isn't going to play until sometime next week, maybe next weekend-ish, depending on who you want to believe, you know.
I got to believe it's sometime next week before the weekend.
Yeah, just kind of like, you know, just like move it along a little bit, you know.
I think it's sometime next week, to be honest. I mean, the way he was saying it, he said he could have played Wednesday night. And I kind of have to believe him, because if he's feeling pain-free for the first time in a couple of years – that means the surgery was successful. Now, Steve Eiserman did say, you know, you can't really know him too much without talking to the player and then talking to his doctors, and you have to get permission from the doctors, from the player to talk to the doctors. And a one-year deal, you know, look, it's risk-reward kind of thing. There were reports that he was getting potentially going to get multi-year deals from certain teams. Still don't believe that. I think he was always going to get a one-year deal from whatever team he chose. And look, Dallas, Florida had a clear cap space to make this work. Even Vegas, a bunch of teams had a clear, especially Dallas and Florida, they had a clear cap space to make this thing work. Buffalo, I don't think he was ever going to go to Buffalo, as much as it would be a cool story to go home. Buffalo's just not in a position to win. And I think Detroit, I think the big factor besides the travel, I think Alex DeBrincat being there is a huge thing. Let's not discredit chemistry, right? It's only been 3 years since these two guys played together in Chicago, and they were dominant. They were combined for like 45 points when they played together, maybe more. But look, it's not like Drouin and McKinnon in Colorado. Their chemistry was back in junior, and they hadn't been together on the same team in a long time. We know what these two guys can do. The power play is going to be awesome with that pass. Patrick Kane can still make a pass. He can still shoot the puck. Is he going to be the Patrick Kane of old? No. But I do believe that he may buck the trend when it comes to this surgery, because we saw with Nicklas Backstrom in Washington, and we saw with Ed Jovanovski. Those guys, a little older, it's tough to come back from. I know Kane's going to be 35, but I just got a feeling this thing might work out. It could work out long-term for Detroit.
It could. I mean, look, again, Kane is not being asked to do what those guys were, though.
Right, exactly.
That's the key point. So he's going to be able to preserve, let's be honest here, he's going to be able to preserve himself a little bit better than previous players that have had the surgery.
I agree.
And then, fortunately, we're going to have to get to that other thing, too. Something with pectorals.
Oh, you mean Dougie Hamilton? Yeah, we'll get to that,
too. The tri-state pectoral blues, as I like to call it.
Yeah, exactly. Now. But, look, I think Kane to Detroit's a great option for them. It's a one-year deal, $2.75 million AAV. Look, if everything works out, they can sign him to a 35-year-old contract-type deal next year in the offseason.
String it along.
Go year by year with this thing. I think, you know, look, Detroit, the way they're playing right now, you add Kane to the mix, I think they're a legit playoff team. I'm not saying they're going to Stanley Cup, but they could make some noise in the playoffs with Kane. And let's be honest, look, was Kane to Detroit, Kane to the Rangers a possibility? Kane to Detroit was always a possibility, but Kane to the Rangers, it was. But Chris Drury didn't want to go through what he went through last year, where he was basically Kane forcing his way there. And then Gerard Gallant feeling that he needed to play him on second line and on a power play and ruin the chemistry. They didn't want to do that because everything was working for them right now. Here, as I asked Kevin Allen the other day, it's going to be interesting. Does Derek Lalonde put him in with the Brinkett right away? Does he have to earn that ice time? Does he have to earn power play time? Like, it's going to be interesting and fascinating thing to see over there.
Right. Do you have to shelter Kane at first, though?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Just to get him, I mean, how do I put this? How are you going to get him up to speed without taxing him too much? Put him on the power play.
Right, exactly. Put him on the power play. Let him do that. Because even though the Wings' power play has been better, it could be taken to the next level when he's there.
Yeah, you have to do something that. Just sort of like, okay, you don't have to play him in the top six. You could kind of like mix him in a little bit, but again, emphasize more of that power play time. That'll gradually bump up his minutes. It'll get him at least used to the pace of what, let's face it, NHL speed is like, because it's been a while for him.
It has been a while, and practice, I mean, by yourself is different than
it's not the same
your teammates. Morning skates are not the same. There's not the same intensity. It's going to be interesting to see what his first game looks like. All eyes will be watching for sure.
Yeah. It's this better be on TNT, damn it.
Oh, I hope it is, because it's going to be a great game whoever he plays. Wherever he plays and whoever he plays, it's going to be fun. And speaking of interesting matchup here Saturday night, you got Nikita Zadorov, who was traded from the Calgary Flames to Vancouver Canucks. He's facing his old team. Zadorov, we know since Hockey Hall of Fame weekend, wanted out. The Flames make the move with the Canucks. Didn't really get too much for them, but they utilized cap space, right? And that's the big thing we've been talking about on the show and throughout the summer, cap space. Look, we know what happened in Chicago, the Corey Perry situation. This allowed Vancouver to move Anthony Beauvillier's $4 million over to Chicago and open up some space. And both teams understood. See, now – with that, it allowed Canucks to keep all of Zadorov's salary, and Flames don't have to retain because they're only allowed to retain three contracts.
Right. So that's another case where everybody wins, you know.
Right.
I mean, yes, sure, Zadorov is on his fifth team of his NHL career already.
That's a lot of guys. That's a lot of teams.
He's a third of the way to the Mike Sillinger.
Yep.
You know, the gold standard of guy who played on more teams than I can count. And the difference is, look, you know, Zadorov's going to have to, you know, earn his sort of, you know, stripes here, so to speak. I hate to say it, but you're on that many teams.
It's either you,
or the team.
Or you or the team, right? And look, I think he's going to fit in great with Rick Tocchet. I think I personally thought Vancouver was going to get Tanev. I thought Tanev was a better fit for them. It would have secured their second line defense, but I think Zadorov does the same thing. He's a physical presence. Mm-hmm. Rick Tocchet will get him in line. And this helps the Canucks in so many ways, who've been struggling a little bit with their D, especially, you know, up and down since their hot start. You know, it's interesting with Calgary, despite being where they are in the wild card race, they're still moving players, and I don't think they're done yet because Chris Tanev's name's still out there. Noah Hanifin's name is out there, and they understand the value of cap space. And you mentioned it before, New Jersey, Dougie Hamilton, torn pectoral muscle, talked to some trainers. They're like, yeah, usually recovers 8 to 12 weeks, could be a little bit more, could be a little. It all depends, and he's on IR. He's not on LTIR, which makes going after defensemen even harder because
right.
you still have to fit that $9 million in.
Yeah, remember the degree of surgery was not as intense as what we saw across the river with Ben Harper.
Right.
The difference is what happened with Ben Harper basically is I wish I had an anatomy guide with me because I know too much about this, unfortunately, from dealing with sports doctors. But basically, the pectoral muscle on Harper was actually fully detached.
Like Cody Rhodes.
And arguably worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Because basically what they're saying with Harper right now is, and he even said this in so many words, I may be ready for training camp. Ladies and gentlemen, training camp next year is 9.5 months away.
Right.
So what does that tell you? He had the worst of the worst, whereas, say, Dougie Hamilton, if you're going to have a pectoral muscle tear, it might have been the best-case scenario.
It might have been, but again, this is where, as I said, I put on Twitter yesterday, you know, if you could stretch it to 4 to 6 months, you can get him back for the playoffs and say, hey, let's get you ready and figure out a way to bring in a defenseman.
They're not going to afford to do that.
No, they're not. And the problem is, as you've seen now, it's a lot like with the Rangers, they can't really replace Hedo or Fox or Kako because, okay, you still have to fit that salary in somewhere. So this is where, like, if you're trading with Calgary, you're going to be like, well, we need to retain, hence why they couldn't take on Zadorov. The Devils had offers in. Toronto had offers in on both guys, and Toronto needed Calgary to retain on both guys. Devils, the same thing. They need.
How much can you retain?
How much can you retain? And here's the problem. It's the same issue now. If they go after a 10, if say New Jersey does, Calgary has to retain at least 50% on that to make this thing work.
Right.
And a rostered player is probably going back the other way.
Yeah. That has to be.
Right.
There's no other way around this at this point.
No, absolutely not. There's not. And that's where, like, you look at New Jersey for a minute and you say, okay, well, their goaltending is not great. Well, of course, it's not great. It was something that should have been addressed in the offseason, and it wasn't. Guys take some time to find their new surroundings. We're going to give Meyer the benefit of the doubt. He was hurt, and he's still figuring it out. Andrew Burnett not being there definitely hurts this team. But you're saying, okay, well, they need a goalie. Okay, so who are you getting? Jake Allen? That's a lateral move to what you have now. Is Gibson going to waive his no trade clause, no movement clause to come to New Jersey? And oh, by the way, he makes $6.5 million. So you're going to need Anaheim to retain at least 50%. And do they want to do that?
No.
Soros. I mean, is he going to stay? Is he going to go?
You know what? The more I know, people keep saying no. But the more I keep seeing this frickin' horse crap that's going on in Nashville. Like today, Lankinen starts.
Right, exactly. Lankinen starts against the Rangers. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the first time. I've said this to a number of people, and I don't think I'm entirely nuts. If we had swapped Brunette and sent Ruff to Nashville, would the Devils be better off right now?
They would be.
Because as crazy as this sounds, I mean, Brunette is stuck with, like, freaking Pintos on a team, you know, that can't generate anything at times other than winding up in the penalty box. He's got a couple stars, and he's got a goaltender that gets hung out to dry so often that literally he wonders.
I don't think, and as much as people say Barry Trotz is talking with UC Sardis about a possible extension, again, Nothing official until official. Remember, Connor Hellebuck wanted out, and he ended up saying the same scenario could happen in Nashville. I just think I'm not sure with Askarov in the system, do you keep Saros? I mean, they did it with Rene and Saros, but I just can't see it.
I think you're kind of just going to, they're going to kind of string this along, and eventually come probably, March, things will start rumbling. The teams will start calling.
Yep.
Something may or may not happen, but you definitely better believe some teams are going to sit there and try their damnedest to get let's face it, a very disgruntled UC Soros right now. No matter what is being portrayed in the media right now down in Nashville, and believe me, we all have wonderful stories of Nashville from the
Midwest. Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
And how their media treated some. Yep. Yeah, we remember. Believe me,
we know. So. But here's the thing: like Saros is there, right? So you have Saros. Yep. Does Askarov come up? Like I know teams are, they're saying, oh, well, maybe Askarov. I don't think teams are going to be trading for Askarov.
There's no
NHL sample on him. Let's face it.
Are they going to trade for a character?
No.
Right now, they're not. They need a proven product.
Exactly, they do. Hence why, like, you see Edmonton, they're probably just going to stick internally with Jack Campbell as much as they need a goaltender.
Right.
Yes, I know Montembeault re-signed and extended in Montreal. Yep. But, Jake Allen better than Jack Campbell? No.
No. Jack Campbell's not that bad of a goalie. You just have to figure out a system that kind of doesn't keep breaking down the way it has. And look, it's not just defense with Edmonton, and it's not just goaltending. It's the team defense, particularly your forwards that wind up just sitting there hanging their defensive teammates out to dry, and then the goaltenders.
I agree with that 100%. And the defense is starting to get better. McDavid's getting on a tear. Draisaitl's playing well. But again, New Jersey and Edmonton are vying for the same guys for the goaltenders.
Right.
And there's other teams out there as well. So what's out on the market, and do you have in your system better options? For New Jersey, they need to play better defense. Simone Nemec looks great. Luke Hughes looks great. He makes a mistake here and there. Okay, he's a rookie.
Get these guys some more time.
Get these guys more time. It's the veterans that are making the mistakes.
This is the bad part.
The Hamiltons. Who else is there? I'm trying to think. His mistake, but he's still young. But it's those guys. It's this, like I said, Siegenthaler, Marino, Hamilton, guys like that are making the mistakes constantly.
Over and over again. Yeah, I mean, the bad penalties, I mean.
And you saw it in Edmonton too with Nurse. He's starting to turn his game around. So good defense helps goaltending.
Right.
Because then you're not always relying on your goaltender to make all of the saves.
Right. I mean, look. So, we'll jump into this really fast and make this really simple. So, the dum-dum coaching move of the week. Here we go. Lindy Ruff, what are you thinking starting a goalie who's just faced 50 shots the night before? I don't care if he has a two-hour trip up the turnpike. You don't do it.
No. As bad as Vitek Vanacek has played, you don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, look. All right, so I saw this with Akira Schmidt in the USHL even. Back-to-back starts. Just not the same guy. And some players are like that. They just don't have... You just don't have it.
All right. Here's a scenario that maybe could have been done last night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rangers have done this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually done this a couple times this season.
Yeah.
Schmidt started Thursday. Give him a break, period. Don't even have him be the backup.
Right.
Bring up Kincaid or bring up somebody to back up Vanacek.
Yeah.
Is that not a bad idea?
It's not bad at this point. It probably would have been the right move at this point.
I mean, like, again, I'm not in the front office. I don't know the ins and outs of, like,
cap room's there.
Cap room's there. You can do it. I'm not saying you can't do it, but I think that this team probably should have done it. And again, Brendan Smith getting suspended doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help this team.
I mean,
but
other than
that team should have beat the San Jose Sharks.
But if you had read cheap plug, if you had read my gambling.com column, you would have realized that you could have seen this coming from a mile away.
Oh, you could have, because why? The New Jersey Devils always play down to their competition.
And look, this happened at the start of the season. Does anybody remember that? Oh, I don't know. New Jersey beat a certain team and then the next night clunked against Arizona.
Yep. They beat Detroit to open the season and then they no-showed.
They no-showed against Arizona. So this is a team that does not have whatever it is in the tank that they need to show up on back-to-back nights right now. I mean, there's lots of other issues, but this was definitely one you at least could kind of peg and see coming.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So we're going to see what New Jersey does. I mean, do you think Lindy Ruff goes?
I thought he should have went at the start of the season, you know, before the start.
Right.
But
Does he have outs? Can you say, well, Hamilton's not there, Hughes hasn't been here, he sure hasn't been here. Okay, but what was the excuse at the beginning of the year?
They're going to point to injuries all they want, but look, he should have been a short leash to begin with.
And should have never gotten that extension. Agree or disagree?
The extension never should have happened. We'll have a lot of people in New Jersey that won't like us for that, but you know what? That's the reality. It never should have happened. The guy that should have been extended should still be here.
Yep. Andrew Brunette should have still been on this team and coaches. Because
for better or for worse, Brunette is a younger guy who has the pulse of playing downhill hockey way better than Lindy Ruff does.
So what you're saying is it was Brunette last year that was the reason the Devils went on a 13-game winning streak and played the way they played. Because we're seeing the Devils of a Lindy Ruff coach team prior to Brunette getting there.
Yep.
I mean, let's be honest. And then there's Minnesota, where they get rid of Dean Evason, 7-game losing streak, and John Hines is back in this league for his
Look, you know they say cats have 9 lives. Oh, screw this. This guy has 18 lives.
He really does. I mean, look, Minnesota gets the push from the new coach, you know, and everything. They've looked better. I just think Dean Evason just lost that room and guys just didn't want to play and all that jazz. Look, they've looked good in 2 games. It's the new coach bump. We're going to see what this Minnesota team is really made of.
Still can't kill penalties.
No, they still can't kill penalties. No.
They can't kill penalties. They can't get timely saves. And unfortunately, I mean, last I checked, where's their stars at?
Ain't around. And I got a feeling somebody asked me this today, and I want to bring this to you. I think Kirill Kaprizov is still hurt. I don't think he's 100%.
I would not doubt that. And oh, by the way, the injury ninja would like to report that one of his fantasy players, of course, that he just picked up last week, was on a good run. Charlie Lindgren. Of course you're hurt again.
Of course.
Come on.
Come on, bro. What are you doing?
I know. I say this all the time, but you know, it's like it must be Christmas cookie season. It's the only way to explain it. All these injuries are starting to happen. We had gotten the injury list down under 100 today.
Wow.
Probably by Monday. It's like, no, darn it, you know.
No, but look, Minnesota, look, they had to make a coaching change. They had no choice. This team just wasn't performing under Dean Evason. We knew the problems from the playoffs, documented the shorthanded problems. But you could see the body language on the bench, the body language with the interviews, the team. Guys just weren't playing well. So they had to make a coaching change. Again, it doesn't help when defensively you're not playing well, not getting a save. You know, top players aren't showing up. Oh, hey, doesn't that sound like the Devils and or Oilers? Okay. So they make the coaching change. Chris Knobloch's doing well in Edmonton. Let's see what John Hines has made there. Again, that's why I bring up Lindy Ruff and the Devils. We got to talk about DJ Smith in Ottawa, though. I mean, like, when does patience run out and when is too much? Because I do believe he is not coming back at the end of this season. But it's going to come down to ownership saying, hey, wait a minute. We saw what happened in Edmonton and in Minnesota. There's expectations on those teams. Why aren't the expectations in Ottawa the same? Because we're supposed to be better with this talent.
Man. You know, at some point, they got to pull the Band-Aid off.
Right?
I mean, this should have been done a little more. This has been a move that's been more than a year in coming.
Right.
And everybody's wondering, well, when is it going to happen? When is it going to... I know it just because it's a fact. Fans are tuning out.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning tonight. That's great.
Let's see if they hold the lead. Because that's a problem.
It just went final. Yeah, they're good. They're okay there. And the amazing part is, basically, if you had told me that their goaltending went and was amazing tonight, it's something else. Somebody forgot to tell Brady Tkachuk that the game started too. By the way,
it's all right. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, he did a total clunk on me. For us, those that don't know, him and Jack Hughes kind of had a streak going back and forth where they both had like 5+ shots a game for like 5-6 games in a row.
Yeah.
Brady Tkachuk ran out of gas tonight. The wheels fell off.
Yeah, but he did.
The bottom line is, Ottawa won tonight 2-0 behind 39 saves from Anton Forsberg. So actually,
solid game by Forsberg.
Look, Seattle outplayed Ottawa and just couldn't score. And it doesn't help that, yes, I get it. They're missing Schwartz. It's a huge injury.
But they couldn't score with him in the lineup anyway.
But he was their only scorer. That's kind of like the cop. How do you put this? It's kind of like a catch-22 mixed with sort of space balls like comic relief.
It's not funny.
It's like, what are you going to score? Now. What do you mean now? Well, now. But we're then and now. And that's kind of, I mean, Seattle, for what it's worth, Seattle offensively just.
Not good. Not good. Defensively, they're not the same. They don't have a goaltending. There's a lot of issues in Seattle right now.
There's a lot of teams that are kind of in this boat right now, unfortunately, where it's like they should be better. They're not better.
Record says Toronto, like,
wait,
Toronto.
No. Better. Because I said this when the guy came back. He came back too soon.
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Vasilevsky, 100%. Vasilevsky does not look like himself. He looks nothing like the guy that he was last year. He still looks like the guy that was hurt. We both said it. There was no reason to rush him back. This team was playing actually better with Jonas Johansson in between the pipes, because now they're back to their old ways. Well, Vasilevsky's there. Well, Vasilevsky's not 100%.
And it showed today
against Dallas. And oh, by the way, it's funny that Montreal and Detroit are playing on a Saturday night on the anniversary of when Patrick Waugh got lit up by Detroit and then told Mario Tremblay, "I
won't." Isn't that nuts?
Right? How funny is that?
All those years. All right. So you're thinking about December 2nd, 1990. Holy crap. So you think about it. That was 28 years ago.
Right. And they're playing in Montreal.
Playing in Montreal. I mean,
and it's Detroit and Montreal in Montreal.
By the way, thank you, Lyle Richardson, for kindly pointing this out, because I almost forgot this morning when I started looking at the schedule. I'm like, wait a minute. December 2nd. Isn't that?
Patrick like, Waugh Day.
Yup. That's Patrick Waugh Day. That's the Patrick Waugh screw job day.
Yep. I mean, again, I don't understand what they were thinking keeping him in a route like that, but I would have been mad too. And Patrick Waugh said, yo, I'm out. He's like, trade me now. He's like, yo, out the door. But it's just funny to see all these different things happen in the NHL right now. Like, I mentioned Brendan Smith. Like, look, we could touch on this real quick. I mean, I know it's a tough job, but, like, come on. Can we get some consistency? And let's not call it the Department of Player Safety anymore. Let's call it the Department of Player Discipline, because that's what it is. It's not player safety.
You mean the New York Rangers right hand at this point?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're starting to go down a very slippery slope again, where we saw this a few times before. I.e. the Colin Campbell error.
Right. Where things that weren't called, where he was associated with certain teams, guys got away scot-free. Other teams, guys got the rule book thrown at them.
Yeah, it is starting to get troubling.
Look.
Let's be honest.
Look, they had a good start, and it's tailed off. Tailed off tremendously. I don't care, accident or not, I don't care. You cannot swing your stick at another player's head.
No.
That's at least a minimum of a game suspension. Minimum.
By the way, Boston.
Boston.
Oopsies.
Trent Frederick.
How crazy is that? So Austin Frederick makes it.
Yeah, Frederick
Matthews
made it
less than 6 seconds left in regulation, by the way.
Yep.
And it's funny too, because my feed, it accidentally jumped to zero and then was like, nah, oops. Somebody forgot to put the little like middle line in. So it was like 8, 7, 6. It just went to zero. Great job. Great job, Toronto clock.
Right, exactly. But what I was saying is, like, look, if I was in doing this, right,
Detroit.
Like, if I was part of the PA and we had this hearing, I'm Brendan Smith's lawyer, right, and we're going to go to the law room, but again, you can't, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot set a precedent for a stick to the head, accident or not, at 5K.
I can't. I mean, look, all right, so here's some of the things that happened. That set this up. Obviously, everybody talks about the Jacob Trouba stick swinging incident with Trent Frederick. Part of the problem with the Trouba stick swing is this, and there's two problems with this. One, his stick was held. That's one kind of like, it's a slight mitigating factor. However, if you watch the video, no matter which angle you see, the intent is there.
Oh, 100% it is.
So that's where you have to look at this. You also have to look at the fact that the repeat offender rule is kind of an arbitrary, laughable sort of entity in the NHL.
Yeah, because isn't it 3 years, then we go reset the clock?
And technically, you have to be suspended.
Right.
So, I mean, if a player... Look, Tom Wilson got off with more fines than...
Yeah, exactly.
I can count. I mean, let's call this for what it is. I mean, some players just managed to just skate like on such thin ice that, and yet they did it before things reset. And that can't happen. If you have a fine and you get popped again, you should be a repeat offender. This isn't hard.
No, it isn't. And look, his hits, they're definitely borderline. He plays a hard physical game within the rules. Yes, right. There are some borderline hits, but there is no excuse for swinging at somebody's head.
Nope.
Because I believe Todd Bertuzzi got 23 games for swinging his stick. Oh, no, Marty McSorley. It was Marty McSorley on Donald Beshear got 23 games.
The chop. Yep.
At a guy's head.
Yeah.
Like, that's one game. Like I said, accident or not, you still have to be control of your own stick. And I understand why Brendan Smith got suspended, but there was a cross check that was fined as well. So again, if I'm in the room and I'm doing this, be like, well, and the lawyer in me is going to say, well, you set the precedent. You basically said it's open season with your stick because you can swing it above somebody's shoulder,
right,
in the head regardless, and it's 5K. So that's the standard, and that's the precedent.
Yeah, and you're looking for Brendan Smith's point of view that, hey, you know, not for nothing, but it's being talked about in the room more than likely that, hey, you know, New Jersey players are being targeted upside down and sideways. The league isn't really going to do anything about it, so it's up to us to do something about it.
Right.
That's the reality. It's where we are.
And the policing of the game is gone.
Right. So the players are still going to try to police the game and be willing to take the consequences of their actions at this point because they know something's going to come down, and it's going to come down on a team that's trying to defend itself.
Right, exactly. And that's where you have to set precedent higher.
Maybe it won't happen as often.
Right. So say Jacob Trouba had a sit for one game. Guys are going to take notice and be like, all right, well, I shouldn't be doing that. They'll probably still do it, but at least, okay, well, if I do it, I'm getting one game. Or I'll get two games, but he got one game. So, okay. But two games to 5K fine. Where's the, like, it's, the teeter-totter's off a little bit here.
A little bit.
Just a tad. Yo, what up?
There's time.
Oh, there's definitely time. There's definitely time.
The blown lead is a thing tonight. What, three overtimes and are going on simultaneously at one point?
No, I know, it's crazy.
Sorry, Detroit. We just wanted another draw to come up so bad.
Exactly. That it did.
It is the weekend of the draw. I don't know what this is, but look, I'll take the gift.
Another OT, baby.
Yep. Detroit ended that as quick as anything. So
yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Flyers would have win in the shootout over the Penguins. Get another up and down team. You don't know what Penguins team you're getting week to week. Like, you really don't. They good, they're bad. Oh, by the way, congrats, Tristan Jarry goalie goal, man. Congrats, man. What a goal, man.
You see the English on that goal?
That was a nice goal, by the way.
Ooh, that was sweet. All right. Lesson learned on that one, but oof.
Absolutely. All right, so we're after dark here. We got to talk about it. I don't want to touch on it too much because it's a personal matter, but Corey Perry incident in Chicago. Again, there's still more questions than answers in regards to what actually happened, why. Again, let's get it out of the way. All the rumors about players, teammates, family members, completely disgusting and completely out of line. And completely wrong. So stop believing what you believe on the internet because it's completely wrong. Trust everybody that you know is a viable source because they have the answers. All that other stuff was complete BS. As far as Corey Perry goes, I hope he gets the help that he needs. Clearly, some alcohol-related issue, some mental health issues, something went down when he was in Nashville, led to some stuff in Cologne, whatever. It doesn't matter. We just hope he gets the help that he needs.
Right.
Because it's a weird situation. Because you can't say a lot. The team can't say a lot. The player can't say a lot because there's probably lawyers involved. And that's why there's more questions than answers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we there's no way we're going to know.
No.
Probably better off that way.
Exactly. We're better off that way. Just let it set and go. It's totally fine. It's crazy, but hey, this is the world we live in. But hopefully, you know, like I said, Corey Perry gets the help that he needs. You know, Connor Bedard is playing well. He got another goal against Winnipeg. So look, it's, you know, Chicago's a mess, but again, it's Chicago. I know they understand that they can't have the benefit of the doubt. They had to be squeaky clean, like a certain wrestler when he was in AEW before he went back to WWE. You had to be able to just fly under the radar. You had to stay out of trouble. Can't have a PR nightmare. They did. It's unfortunate.
QBR nightmare.
It just is unfortunate. But look, it's Saturday. We told you we'd bring Pucks After Dark back. It wasn't just a one-time deal, people. We told you it was coming back.
This is the way.
This is the way. It is the only way. But look, like I said, the National Hockey League, so much going on here on a Saturday night. Wouldn't you love to see, like, the Frozen Frenzy, like, back when we had, like, last week on that Friday or something?
Oh,
like so many missed opportunities, right?
I mean, that would have been perfect to do.
Oh, how funny is that?
Wah, 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 wah. Wah.
Brad Marchand with the winner.
The rat face ghost killer.
The guy who's the most hated man in Toronto.
Well, you got to think about this too, though. So, Matthews scores with less than 10 seconds in regulation. Marchand's like, hey, anything you can do?
I can do better.
A little better.
Yep.
I'll score at less than 10 seconds left in, as Rick Jonner said, overtime. And end it.
Hey, real quick, this is Pucks After Bark after all. Did you see this? And we just got to go off topic real quick. This quick college football note. Apparently, there is a Cedar Rapids golf bar offering free beer until Iowa scores, essentially a free blackout. Wow. That's crazy. Man.
That is beautiful.
That's crazy.
I think my high school football team could score on Michigan before Iowa does.
I think so too. I think that's gonna happen. I'm surprised it's not bigger than that. But back to the hockey. Look, what a night it's been. You know, ton of great games. Started this afternoon. I mean, so many one-goal games, so many high-scoring affairs. And, you know, it's interesting that, like, you know, Arizona playing so well at home. They're still in the mix. Like, you look at these standings, right? And I think this is a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
There's, like, you look at it, right? Everybody's so close that this trade deadline is going to be crazy. And even the teams that we think are out of it are really not out of it because the separation isn't that far away. That's why, like, teams that really think they're playoff contenders and should be better where they are and they give away points, i.e. New Jersey to Columbus and San Jose, should be there. Should be right in the mix. But those are points you just can't give away.
And there's look. I mean, the one thing New Jersey has going for it is teams like Tampa Bay that are equally giving points away. And
I mean, that's a tough, you know, Dallas is a tough place to play.
I understand that, but they're still hemorrhaging points. They should not be. They shouldn't be a 500 team.
And let's be honest, if the Devils actually showed up and played against Washington, that's 4 points they should have.
Oh, without a doubt.
And they could be in third right now in the Metro.
They could.
Because they have the same goal differential as the Washington Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better goal differential than the Islanders, who are sitting in the second wildcard spot right now.
Yeah, if it wasn't for, let's put it this way, if it wasn't for Charlie Lindgren right now, Washington would probably be last in the Metro or Dark.
Exactly. Horse, exactly.
Which is pretty crazy to believe. But on December 2nd, here we are.
Here we are. And everything's just so, so tight. That's why, you know, again, we say American Thanksgiving, but is it really? Because everything's not just anymore. So close right now. I think we know who the good teams are, but do we really know who those wildcard teams are? Because I say Toronto, like they're 12-6-3, but are they? Their eye test is something different.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, look.
And Florida turning in one of the better teams in the league right now. They look like that President's Trophy team. You know, Boston's still there. You got Rangers in the East. I mean,
can the Rangers stay healthy?
Right. Can they keep it going? Can Quick keep it going? Right.
Yeah, that's going to be a question because let's face it. I know Ranger guys disagree with this, but the reality is Laviolette puts guys in the grinder. And his teams do tend to break down late in seasons.
Right. Is Quick going to be the guy that he's been thus far this season?
I don't know, but so far it's been pretty fun to watch.
It has been. Look, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, Jonathan Quick in Edmonton. I was like, Jonathan Quick in Edmonton would not be the Jonathan Quick he is right now because the defense in New York is way better.
Right.
Like, the reason why he was so good in Vegas, the defense was better. Now,
oh, of course,
Jonathan Quick in L.A. with the defense they have in L.A., I think maybe we see that Jonathan Quick again. But now, I'm not so sure. It's very interesting. So many things to dissect as we get through the rest of the season, as things come about. But we just had to hit some big headlines here. We had to bring it back. Pucks After Dark here on a Saturday. It's a jam-packed day. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Braden, Kyle with the comments. Love it. This has been Pucks After Dark on the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. Been your host, Jim Berenger, Chris Vassell, my co-host, one of the best guys in the business, Ian behind the scenes. The NWO always rocks it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Hockey, Facebook, FullPressHockey.com, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, Full Press Coverage YouTube, get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and weekend.